We take our Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 5 and 9, and after that to Ephesians chapter 1. Luke chapter 5, the verses 12 through 16. The word of our God reads here as follows. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." And yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. That Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Chapter 9, the verses 18 through 27. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." And then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, and yet lose or forfeit his own self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And I tell you the truth, that some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." We turn also to Ephesians chapter 1. We read 14 verses. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillments, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal and the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. I proclaim to you this afternoon the word of our God as we could read it from Luke and Ephesians as the church has summarized it, and we together confess it in Lord's Day 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 49, what is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grants that we and all men may deny our own will, and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grants also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. In response to the sermon, we sing Psalm 143. And the stanzas 5 and 6. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in so many ways, your life and mine resembles a corn maze. We have to make decisions. Which direction shall we go? Do I follow this career or that career? Do I go and live here? Do I go and live there? Do I spend my evening watching this movie or playing hockey? It's decisions, so many of them. What's God's will for me, we wonder. And we'd love it if somehow there were a direct message from heaven indicating this is what you need to do. It turns out, brothers and sisters, that the Lord God has revealed much about His will in His Word. In fact, He's taught us to pray concerning His will, that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As He teaches us to pray that, He also impresses on us the need to share the vision of God. I summarize the sermon this afternoon with this theme: the child of God prays into existence the vision of the Father for world history. And I ask your attention for 3 points. The first is the contents of the vision. In second place, the sharing of the vision. And in third place, the answer to this prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, taught His disciples to pray. Also that third petition, your will be done. These disciples who heard Jesus teach them this petition had followed Jesus for some time prior to this instruction. As they followed Him, they listened to Him. They watched Him. And as a result, they learned this and that from Him also about the will of God. There was one day a particular leper who came to Jesus. A leper. They were not to think of Hansen's disease as in somebody with an affliction in his nervous system so that his extremities end up falling off, his fingers and toes. But this leper was afflicted with the condition of Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. And that is to say that he had white spots on his skin. White is the color of death. Death is the wages of sin. God is the God of the living. His people were to be alive spiritually. This man has death in his body. And so he's unclean, says the Lord in Leviticus 13. He's to keep his distance from the crowds, for nobody may touch him because this uncleanness will spread. And he's to cry out, unclean, unclean. It's a tragic life the leper had. He came to Jesus, says Luke chapter 5. And we can understand that the disciples were there, and they saw and they heard what happened next. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The disciples saw Jesus' reply. He reached out his hand, says verse 13. And he touched the unclean man. And that's to say that now Jesus himself was unclean. And he said to the man, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left the leper. What, my brothers, my sisters, does the leper mean when he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean? What does Jesus mean when he says, I am willing? Does the man simply mean, if you feel like it, Lord, you can make me clean? If you are willing. It's an odd formulation. If you're willing, can I use your phone? And we don't talk that way. What's the man mean? The question's important. Because the disciples are picking this up. And they shall be told when you pray, say, your will be done. Is there a connection? What's the connection? To get a handle on this congregation, we need to refer to Ephesians chapter 1. For there that same word is used. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Again, verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And you find the word again in verse 9 and verse 11. What's the apostle mean when he speaks about the will of God? What he means, congregation, is that before Genesis 1 happened, before the foundation of the world, the Lord God developed a plan, a program for history. This plan is the will of God. It includes that this world should be created. And that God's creation be commanded to be fruitful and multiply. This will of God, this plan, this program, included the fall into sin. Included that God would send His Son into the world to redeem a fallen creation. In fact, this plan of God included who specifically would benefit from the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Us, that's Paul, and the saints of Ephesus, a very particular group of people. As a matter of fact, the plan of God included that the Apostle Paul be arrested on the road to Damascus and would come to faith and be set apart as an apostle. That's chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. It was God's ordinance from the beginning that 4,000 plus years after God made his plan, Paul would in fact be arrested, be made an apostle. This is the will of God. And so it's clear, congregation, that the plan of God, the will of God, the program of God, included the leper of Luke chapter 5. Included that this particular man, somewhere along the course of his life, would get these white spots, indicating that he had death within his system. He'd be unclean. Included, perhaps, too, that he would become cleaned again. Well, now, this leper, he believes the reality of God's sovereignty. He believes the reality of God's plan, of God's vision for history, including his own little place in that big picture. This man sees Jesus, and he knows who Jesus is, for he dares in verse 12 of Luke 5 to call him Lord. He recognizes this teacher of Nazareth is divine. And so he says to this teacher of Nazareth is divine, Lord, he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, well, Jesus knows the will of God. Divine he is. Knows the will of God in relation to this leper and what's involved with his leprosy. So Jesus says, I am willing. And that is to say that cleansing this leper is within the plan of God. And so he touches the unclean. So Jesus himself becomes unclean. And because he's unclean, he has to go to the cross. He has to atone for sin. And his sacrifice on the cross is the only way to do it. And here, congregation, we understand his instruction for the disciples. An instruction that becomes clearer in the third petition itself. For Jesus tells the disciples to pray, your will be done. And that is to say, the disciples are to ask about God's eternal plan, God's eternal vision for themselves. They're to catch a sense of their place in that vision, in that plan, in that will of God in history. Think it through, beloved. Peter and James and John and Andrew and Thaddeus and the rest. They have to get their minds off their little selves as if they are the center of their world. And they are to catch, they are to share the vision, the plan of God for the world. And their place in that vision, in that plan. You see, that's what Paul did. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, he says. And that's to say, he confesses he's not an apostle because it's just circumstance, it's how things just kind of unroll. But he's connecting himself to God's eternal plan, God's eternal vision before Genesis 1. And he says, because God had that will, that is why the thing on the road to Damascus happened, and God grabbed hold of me, and I became an apostle. And Paul's catching that same vision and sharing that same vision in relation to the saints of Ephesus. Verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as a son through Jesus Christ. in accordance with his pleasure and will. And there the apostle is connecting the saints of Ephesus, those chosen to life, with the program of God planned before the foundation of the world. He says, because God included you way back then, that is why the gospel came to Ephesus and you came to faith. This is the will of God. And we hear this, beloved. And we recognize what a glorious perspective this is. You're not a random speck floating aimlessly through time, through space. But you were ordained. You were planned by God long ago. Fancy that. Implication? You're not an accident. It's not by chance that you live in 2011. It's not by chance that you live in Chilliwack area. It's not by chance that you married to whoever, dating whoever, friends list, whoever. It's not by chance that you're the son or the daughter of a certain parents. It's not by chance that you're working at or studying at a certain place. All of that is within God's eternal plan for you. And that will of God is never random. And it is for you and for me, congregation, to catch sight of this vision of things. And so to ask God to unfold His will more for us, so that we see that vision and work along with it. That's our second point, the sharing of this vision. For people, congregation, we're created to be different than rocks and rats. We're created to image God. And that's to say that we have responsibility. So we have the capacity to develop our own dreams, our own plans, our will for ourselves, our future. Develop the dreams. Pursue the dreams. Before the fall into sin, those plans, those dreams, that vision was in step with God's plan, God's will, God's vision. There's nothing selfish in the intent, in the will of Adam and Eve. But with the fall into sin, that changed. Adam and Eve. And all their offspring, you and me included, are bent by nature to do our own thing and to do it our own way. And to do it for our own gain. The disciples too were caught in that affliction. And so I read at the end of Luke chapter 9. About an argument amongst the disciples. Who of them would be the greatest? But Jesus says, they are to cut out that selfishness. They need to deny self in order to serve God. And how does Jesus make that clear? We read that from Luke 9, verse 22. Jesus says in that passage to his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law. He must be killed and the third day be raised to life. And we read that and we say, yes, that's what has to happen. The thing is, congregation, the way the Greek is put together there, the word must The Son of Man must suffer. He must be killed. The way the Greek is put together catches the notion of God's divine will. Says Jesus, this is the plan, the program, the agenda of God. This is what must happen to the Son of Man. It is inevitable. And then Jesus continues, verse 23, he says to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must, and there's the same word of divine necessity. This is the will of God, the plan of God, his program. He must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And what Jesus is pressing upon the disciples is that they have to buy into God's vision for them. They have to walk in step with God's program for them. Walking in step with God's program involves denial of self. One must take up his cross daily. Take up your cross. We understand the significance of the symbolism. The disciples certainly did. They saw it from time to time. A criminal condemned to death with his cross on his shoulder, dragging out of the city to Golgotha for crucifixion. And Jesus says, you need to be in step with God's plan for you. Deny yourself. Crucify your old nature. Crucify your depraved will. Buy into the vision of God and walk in step with Him. And so, congregation, when Jesus tells His disciples to pray, your will be done, what's He saying? What must the disciples pray? Yes, that God unfold His plan, fulfill His program for history. Sure, but not only that. That will happen. More importantly, more to the point, Lord, make me to walk in step with Your plan. Make me to do all I can to further Your vision. But it involves, first of all, denying myself. Yes. Living in a manner consistent with God's revealed will, obeying His commands. We understand that's part and parcel of walking in step with the will of God. That's why He gave His will, His commandments. And that is why the Catechism, Lord's Day 49, says in relation to this petition, what does it mean, your will be done? This, grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Obey. Well, there's the commands of God. Commands given so that I might act responsibly, and so walk in step with God's vision for me. There's the third petition. And I trust, congregation, that part's clear enough. But the fact of the matter is that life throws so many curveballs at us. How do I know whether I should pursue this job or that job? Whether I should live here or there? Buy this car or that car? Or any car? What should I do this evening? How do I know? And it may even be, congregation, that any one of those options available to us are within the confines of God's commands. God does not prohibit me through any of His commandments from doing this tonight instead of that, moving here instead of there. That may be so. Now that just makes the question the greater. What am I supposed to do then? If it's all okay by the Lord's revealed will, what am I to do? Our God, congregation, does not only want us to avoid sin itself, yes, that is part of His commands, instruction, but He also wants us to get on board with His plan, His vision, and then to walk in step with that vision, that plan, that will of God. And that's the third petition. Lord God, give me grace to deny myself. Give me grace to decide in favor, in agreement with Your will, Your vision. So, show me the way, Lord, to be most effective in Your kingdom. Show me what I can do to make Your name more glorious still. And then I may have to conclude that though doing a particular event may be okay in itself, that there is a better way to spend my time or my money in God's kingdom, a way that's more fruitful for His greater glory. I am, after all, on this earth not for me, but for God. Life is not about my dreams, my wishes, but life is about the Lord's vision, the coming of His kingdom, the hallowing of His name. And so I pray this third petition. After all, I do not want to work in opposition to God's plan. I also don't want to be a drag on the fulfillment of His plan for world history. So we come to our third point, the answer to this prayer. We can assume that after Jesus told His disciples to pray this petition, "Your will be done," that the disciples in fact did pray that petition. But how then did the Father answer their prayer? Well, not, congregation, not necessarily as the disciples may have wished. After all, Jesus does say, anyone who would come after me, anyone who would share the vision of God, must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not what we like to hear. So there also came the day, congregation, when the disciples went with Jesus to the Mount of Olives. He reached a certain place, and He said to His disciples, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And then He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. A stone's throw. How far is that? The width of this building? The length of this building? It's not all that far. And then Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." The disciples, it's a stone's throw, could hear Him. As a matter of fact, Jesus is in great anguish. So much so, He says, or the text says, He prayed more earnestly and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. What were the disciples to understand that Jesus was praying for? if you are willing, Father, take this cup from me. Yet not mine, but your will be done. Did the Father answer Jesus' prayer? Did the Father relieve the Son of the pressure? You know, congregation, how the Father answered the Son? He sent Judas Iscariot with the armies of the temple police to arrest Jesus. And the disciples saw that. And the results of that, of Jesus' arrest, was more suffering, was more anguish. He's mocked, scourged, tormented, crucified, rejected by God. That congregation is the Father's answer to the Son praying the third petition. Question for you. Would you be satisfied with your God answering your prayer that way? And we would say, no. That's not answering prayer. But that, beloved, is how God answered Jesus' prayer, because that was the will of God from the beginning. And what was the desire of Jesus Christ? It was to walk in step with the will of God. So he prayed this third petition, and the Father answered him. And the answer included Jesus' arrest and suffering and crucifixion and death. Why was that within the will of God? Because the vision of God included your redemption through the death of Jesus Christ. You see, God's answering Jesus' prayer the way he did gives you salvation. So, what shall we do? Why this, beloved? We too shall pray the third petition. And we shall pray it earnestly. And that's to say that we'll buy into God's plan for the world, into God's vision also for us. We'll pray for grace that our thoughts, our dreams, our plans are in step with God's thoughts, God's plan, God's vision for the world, and so for us. We shall pray, your will, Father, be done. Not my will. My will is weak. My vision is so limited, is so selfish. Grant, Lord, that I, without any murmuring, may deny my own will and obey your will, for it alone is good. And then do so as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Make me, Lord, to buy into your program for history. Deny self, though going my way is so tempting. How can you buy into that program, beloved? How can you pick up on that vision? To recognize that you are not an individual on your own. You are not a speck who just happens to exist in a big, wide, purposeless world. Instead, you have the privilege to be a participant in God's plan for history. Might it be that when you pray the third petition, that God would answer it in a way different from what you intend? Sure. Sure. But is that a problem? Yes, it is, for my sinful nature. But I don't want to listen to my sinful nature. I want to live for my God. And then, if He answers my petition, "Your will be done," in a manner different than I wish, is that a disappointment? And in faith I say, no, that is not a disappointment. That is opportunity for further service to my God, to make His kingdom come, to glorify Him more. Life, so often like a corn maze. What do I have to do? So many decisions. But congregation, recognizing the privilege of being part and parcel of God's vision for the world, walking in step with that vision, that goes a long way in answering so many of life's questions. What does God want of me? This, to walk in step with Him. What a privilege, how exciting to be allowed to do that. Because it's not about me anyway. It's about His kingdom and His glory. And that's why I want to do His will. Amen.